Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Devin Tilley here, and I'm so pumped to be going into having a deep dive series brought to you by Enscape. If you go back to show 157, we interviewed Moritz Luck, who Moritz Luck is the founder of Enscape and has a really cool story. I challenge you to go back after you listen to this inspiring conversation to go to show 157 titled How a Video Game Became Architecture's Most Powerful New Tool. But Tribe, I don't know what this video game's about. And so we're going to go in, and I have my guest co-host, Matt McMullen, that all of these superstars that I'm meeting are saying, Enscape is this amazing real-time rendering, and it's changing the game for architecture. I want to learn how, and I hope you want to learn how with me. But I've brought Matt McMullen into Studio AOC today, and he's going to talk through, they're actually using it in his firm, and this is going to be a three-part series. So he's sprinkled in a little bit about how he is the architect principal for Able Design Group, but here we get to hear all those stories together. So Matt, what do you think of this whole deep dive series we're diving into with Enscape?
I think it's exciting, man. I'm really looking forward to talking with Enoch. And you know, their firm is a great firm that resides in Culver City, California, and just sort of a hotbed of contemporary modern architecture. And they do great work. So let's get it on.
Awesome. So this show is not about us talking. We got to get in and have this deep dive series because this is for you contractors and affiliates to grow your business. And what we're all about here on The Art of Construction is to connect technology like Enscape with handshakes, which is how we make our firms work. And it's the people in the middle. And we have some superstars. Let's dive in and start and have this conversation with Enoch. Lock and load, Tribe. Here we go. What's your favorite beverage?
Fresh squeezed watermelon juice.
Watermelon juice. That's a new one. I love it when we get a new one. Yeah. Do you ever put anything special in that watermelon juice or just straight up hardcore watermelon juice?
A little bit of lime. You can put a lime juice and also mint leaf in there.
All right.
Seeded or seedless?
Both.
Do you strain them with your teeth?
Pretty much.
Enoch, what's a favorite place you've traveled?
Switzerland.
Wow. Give us one story or experience from that.
I was studying abroad in Italy through the USC School Architecture Program. And towards the end of that program, I bought a bike through actually the eBay in Italy, got a bike, and did a 6-day bike tour, biking from Italy to Switzerland and then back to Italy. So, and by myself, and it was just gorgeous to see riding up the Swiss Alps where there's like snow and rain around you, but seeing the mountains, that was amazing.
Awesome. One story from the, you said a couple weeks on the bike?
6 days.
6 days. So what's one thing that comes to mind from your 6 days on your eBay bike?
Nature is gorgeous.
There you go. And architect, that's what they're definitely their passion, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, what's your favorite hobby or interest outside of the construction silos we're breaking down and talking today with Enscape and real-time rendering that we call the art of construction?
Learning new things, in particular YouTube tutorials. I learn a ton of stuff through YouTube tutorials that what I do when I have free time, anywhere from fixing my car to putting together computer programs or electronic appliances. So
that's fascinating that you tie, you know, your hobby is like using that tool to do kind of everything, right? That you mentioned. Mm-hmm. That's fascinating that you say that's your favorite hobby or interest outside. So that's a unique one, man. You're teeing this up for a unique conversation. I love it. Matt?
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, when you said that, really architecture is about lifelong learning. And so I think you're a perfect example of that. And, you know, that includes Enscape as well, mm-hmm. too.
Absolutely.
Awesome. And so like I said on the interview, this is a deep dive series, show one, that you can go look at the bookends at the whole thing that we're doing here is trying to connect the technology with handshakes. And when I teed this up with Enscape, I said, who should I interview? Who's blazed trails? Who has been a leader when it comes to Enscape, when I want to learn and take a deeper dive with you to understand this video gamer Moritz that turned this into this real-time rendering tool? But before we do that, I first want to learn your story, Enoch. So give us your background and what led you to EYRC, and tell us about your firm, and then we're going to get in and have a conversation about why real-time rendering matters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So I studied architecture in the School of Architecture at USC, graduated in 2012, and during that time have a huge emphasis and interest in technology. And in fact, I remember growing up, my first dream job is to be an inventor. So I'm always interested in technology and innovation. And when I joined my current office, Ehrlich Yanni Riccini Architects, or UIRC Architects, about 4 years ago, I found a place for me, a space for me to doing a kind of like focusing on innovation and the use of technology. And since then, yeah, I've been focusing a lot on the research and development side of things, and also just the use of testing different technologies to see how we can improve our workflow. And Enscape was the result of one of those processes. And so, it's just really cool to see how technology is transforming the office currently.
Outstanding. So innovator and architecture coming together, Enscape or real-time rendering was one of the tools that sounds like you're very passionate about.
Absolutely.
So I'm curious, can you just give me the synopsis that I don't do this day in and day out? I'm hearing so much buzz when I go to different conferences, like Matt and I were at Digital Built Week, and go back and see the several podcasts we did around that. Enscape was everywhere and everybody was talking about Enscape and the platforms and how it works with that. So why does real-time rendering, what's the big deal about it? Fill me in that doesn't do it day in, day out.
Yeah, so with real-time rendering, it really goes back to communication. Traditionally, when we have to do visualization for architecture, most of the time it's a process that takes quite a while. Most likely because a lot of the times the program we use to document to do documentation is not really made for visualization, and so all of a sudden you have to essentially transfer your file and translate it into a different format so that you can do rendering using rendering programs such as V-Ray, for example. And usually, one of the things is like for renderings like that, it usually takes hours to create an image. And so if you can imagine preparing for a presentation, you typically have at least like 5 renderings and sometimes up to like 20 renderings. Just the rendering time itself adds up a lot. Not to mention the workflow that you have to incorporate to clean up the file, to retexture everything. So in short, it just creates a lot of lag time between your design process and your visualization process. And at the end of the day, what the client really see or stakeholder really see is your presentation. So you really want to make those good. And what's powerful about real-time rendering is that it essentially shrink that process. For example, if you're doing it in-house, it might take you like 3 or 4 days to create your renderings. If you're outsourcing it, it can easily take you 2 weeks to do that. But it shrink that time period down to hours. With real-time rendering, you can crank out a rendering right away, right there. And in addition to that is that there's so much more flexibility when it comes to deliverables. So for example, like in general, we think about visualization as still renderings or animation. But what real-time rendering, it's really amazing, is that you can walk through the project with the client or with any stakeholders. That is extremely powerful because you're no longer locked into one perspective of the project. You can actually go through and experience it with, for example, the client. So
You made some really good points and observations, Enoch. You know, I want to dive in a little bit deeper because you guys live in a unique, I think, micro environment in Southern California, where if we look back, there was a lot of, you know, hand model building going on either out of cardboard or whatever. And, you know, I specifically think of, you know, Frangieri and Associates. And then there was CATIA software, mm-hmm. which was, you know, French fighter jet software. Mm-hmm. You know, and Frank started to bring that on board to try to represent this. And, you know, maybe you could talk a little bit about how, as director of digital design and technology, you're looking for specific things like Inscape that allow you to separate yourself from a highly competitive, in a highly competitive market and differentiate your brand.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. I think one of the main thing that, for example, Inscape and real-time rendering allowed us to do is to add value. To add value to the client, to what we can do. So an example, it's where for example, when we do developer projects, in the past, a lot of the times, whenever the developer needs imagery to sell their project, to promote their project, the option is to outsource it most of the time, or we can do it in-house, but it takes a lot of time. And the thing is, we're outsourcing renderings. A lot of times it's actually more efficient that way because they have a whole shop set up for that. But now with real-time rendering, we can actually leverage the BIM model that we are we have created anyways, but to generate collaterals that are, you know, just as powerful and effective compared to renderings that have been outsourced, for example.
What percentage would you say, because you mentioned that you're able to work with clients real time, what percentage of the Inscape renderings would you say are actually for clients, and what percentage is community engagement? Because you did mention the piece that there's really, you know, real time rendering allows you to walk the client through and even make changes on the fly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say in terms of percentage, I don't have a hard number, but I would say like easily 75%, if not more, we will show the client. That I would say that 25%, it's kind of more in-house when we do design studies and that we're fleshing through ideas. But honestly, like most of the time, we pretty much show most of what we generated to the client.
Wow, lots to talk about answering that question in a great way. If I'm hearing you right, you talk through that it was really hard to present. That was an aha moment for me when you said in the past, it's the stakeholder, the people that are writing us the check. Mm-hmm. They don't quite understand if things like permitting and all the stuff these amazing architects do that you don't talk about at the presentation, because that's just getting you a building permit and all the stuff. But you're presenting there the visualization that usually that comes after you do all this other legwork. But if you can do that simultaneously, it's putting the two together. Is that kind of what I'm hearing when Matt said the Frangieri cardboard models was a very select group? Or I love how Matt, when he had his firm, when he talked about back in the day working in Southern California, the VCR tapes, I'll have him tell that story, which is pretty cool. But there was a lot of work versus now, all that stuff just happens as you're going. And the BIM models, when we go back to Ben Glunz and other people that we've interviewed, mm-hmm. these BIM models are just, everybody's maximizing the value out of all this stuff versus internally to make sure the wall meets the roof and mm-hmm. visualizing it together. Is that, am I understanding that right when you talk about real-time rendering?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you think about architecture, fundamentally, it's a design of space. And I believe that space needs to be experienced in motion. I think it's counterintuitive to experience space from just one controlled, predetermined perspective. I don't think that's realistic as well. And so here's one story I want to tell. It's we have one of our projects where we have these different forms and geometries that are kind of triangulated. And if you're just looking at elevations or RCPs or reflective ceiling plans, like people like who doesn't have extensive architecture training, it's hard for them to understand the vision of the project or the spatial quality. But I remember very carefully, it was an early day, we were using Enscape in the beginning phase. We don't really have powerful laptops or anything, but we actually haul one of our workstations out, set the whole thing up, and walked the client through that project, walked them through the spaces, and right there, there's an aha moment. It clicked for them. It's like, wow, this is what the project is about. And they got on board.
You know, that strikes a really a chord with me. You know, if you think back to the movie The Matrix, you know, with Keanu Reeves, that's always what it felt like when we were presenting. You know, is everything froze? And then you kind of like rotated and you're like, hey, here's what it would look like from here. And then freeze, and then here's what it would look like from here. And so, yeah, I agree with you. It's architecture needs to be experienced as you move through the space and you're looking up and around. And it's not from one cone of vision. Yeah, it's you're looking all around the space.
Absolutely.
Hey, Matt, give us the quick story. You've told it to me offline. I'm not sure if we've ever told it to the Art of Construction tribe, that when we're talking about this, and the next question for Enoch is, you know, what did you do before you utilized real-time rendering? But Matt, you told me the story about back in the day, how you kind of pre-made all this stuff and you worked with clients in Hollywood, I think you told me, where you built it into a VCR tape because the big stakeholders understood that. Like, tell us that story, how you used to do it before Enscape was here.
Yeah, so this is going back to like 1995, and we were using ArchiCAD in my office. And you would have to build this thing three-dimensionally, so it was truly a BIM model. It had characteristics and qualities of all the walls and floor planes and ceilings. But you had to place a series of camera points, and then you would link that camera path together. And then it would render each thing frame by frame. And so you would, I can remember sleeping on the floor of my studio, hoping that I didn't hear the dreaded ping. And the ping was, it meant that something had happened and there was an error, and an error message would come up and you'd have to start the whole path all over again. So it was like a rush to try to get this stuff done so that we could transfer it onto a VHS tape. And then I would jump on a plane to LA, go meet with my clients at Paramount or Warner Brothers, and then we would pop that VHS tape in their machine and watch it on the TV in their office. And it was great. They thought it was the coolest thing, you know, because they knew they had Lucasfilms and all that kind of stuff going on, but in the architecture world, it didn't exist. But the downside was, and we'll talk a little bit about this, the lag time, is that I would fly to LA, I'd show them this stuff, I'd make a, you know, note of everything that they didn't like or wanted to change, and then we would go in, change that stuff, then run another VHS tape, and then send it back out to them. So that was the weeks that Enoch was talking about.
That sounds like a little bit cumbersome. Enoch, what did you do before you blazed the trails as an early adopter with Enscape?
So before we use Enscape, we do two things. One is outsource it. So we outsource it to, for example, rendering firms here in the US, or outsource it to rendering firms that are in other countries as well. So there's that. And that has worked, I think, fine for a while. But at one point, the lag time was just a little bit too much, especially when it comes to doing competitions where every day matters for that fact. And then we also start doing it in-house. We have some really talented people who can do renderings, and we exported our BIM model from the Revit file to, let's say, a mesh file or other file formats that we can render it in Rhino, for example, and use rendering engines like V-Ray. But the challenge with that is where back then it was still something we called CPU-based rendering. Essentially, it renders pixel by pixel. The light calculation is very accurate, but on the other hand, it just takes a long time. And like what Matt said, you kind of like pray and hope that something doesn't go wrong, so that the image you've been rendering for the past 24 hours doesn't, you know, just goes to waste and you have to redo the whole thing again. So it was just a process that has a lot of friction.
You know, the best part about it was like combining grass growing and paint drying all in one experience.
Absolutely. Yeah, and
that sounds like fun. Yeah. Yep. So needless to say, this real-time rendering is a pretty big deal in your guys' world.
Oh, hands down, yep.
Well, Moritz, you really hit something here when I'm listening to these experts talk about it, my man. Matt, what are some of the consequences of the lag time between design process and vision? I guess it's pretty obvious that it's the time, right? The time that goes into the behind the scenes when we didn't have this tool that was so valuable.
Yeah, you know, it's that's the question I would ask of you, Enoch, is and not only just the client presentation, but, you know, I don't know if you guys are using it to go out to any neighborhood meetings, HOA meetings, planning or city council meetings or anything like that where people can make suggestions. And if you've got the ability, you can make those changes real time to sort of show them potentially the consequences three-dimensionally of the exterior and interior experience of maybe what they might be suggesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. So in the past, we have definitely done it where we will have multiple options side by side so that, you know, like the stakeholders or neighbors can kind of see the impact on different design decisions. And we have used Enscape for that, where we can walk live through the project with different design options. So that has been very effective in that sense. In terms of making change on the fly, we have also done that with certain clients as well, especially when it comes to materials and certain geometry moves. I think that's also one thing that's very powerful. If anything, kind of more like looking inwardly, we have been designing using Enscape because it really allows, for example, like the principal in charge and the designer who's doing, let's say, the bulk of the modeling work to be on the same page about what they're seeing. A lot of the times previously, one of the problems is where when you're looking at the model, which tend to be in axon view, you lose the sense of scale because everything is flattened on the screen. But with Enscape, you bring back that sense of scale again, that spatial quality, and it really allows the team to communicate effectively internally as well.
That's a super valid point as far as spatial planning to really understand. I own a window and door company in Colorado, and it's like the height of doors and walls and everything just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And as I used to be 6'8", then 8 foot, 10 foot. Now everybody wants 12 foot on custom luxury homes. It's like, you realize how tall that really is and the variables that come along with that. But when great architects like you guys show that in rendering, you can really see and feel that, which is awesome. So what are some other lessons learned that you've seen with real-time rendering?
Yeah, I would say in terms of lessons learned, I think there's kind of like the, I think at the end of the day, it's still important to think through the story first. With real-time rendering, there's a ton of potential to it, and you can generate animations, renderings so fast. However, having that said, I think one of the lessons learned for us is at the end of the day, is start with a story to think through. This is the story we want to tell, and we will use real-time rendering to help tell the story early on, and I'll be transparent. Early on, when we start using a real-time rendering, we're very trigger happy. So because we start thinking, hey, like we can generate like 30 renderings overnight, like no problem. You know, so we generate a ton of renderings, different deliverables. But the issue with that end up being our story got watered down because there was just too much going on. You know, and so that's definitely a huge lessons learned. And another thing, it's just in terms of how we present as well. Previously, I think as an office, we're very much used to presenting through still image, but now we're presenting through a live walkthrough. So learning to do that, it was definitely like a learning process to do that as well.
You know, and that's important, I think, what you say. We when we were using ArchiCAD, they had an app called BIMX. And what that did is that freed you up to, and I want to call it, you know, kind of not leading the client through by the nose, you know, kind of pulling along and say, here, look here, and really controlling that experiential tour. And like you say, with Inscape, it really allows you as well, and I think at a higher rendered quality, to allow the client to really go through the building how they might experience it. Because, you know, if they're a user potentially, owner user, they can come through and take their own path, which may be different than what you had in your mind, or they may walk through as the CFO or a daily worker or a patron of an art gallery or whatever. And I think that is really powerful.
Absolutely. One example is where we have we were working on essentially a cafeteria project, and it was so amazing to see that, you know, when we present the Enscape model to them, what they want to do is to go into the back of house and see where all the equipment is and see like how they're being laid out. And for me, that's eye-opening and an aha moment as well, where Enscape really allows you to open up like doors to different stakeholders in looking at that space. Because if you think about it, if we're going to outsource rendering, who's going to outsource rendering to render back of house stuff, right? But with Enscape, now we can show them that space.
They didn't get locked in the refrigerated storage, did they?
No, they got out.
Okay. Hey, but seriously though, like, what are some of the, so we've talked about some of the positives. What are some of the downsides to real-time rendering that you've seen in your experience? And when I say downsides, just, you know, things maybe where maybe your client might feel like they're a little bit further along in the process with the design, and you may not be there. And so you'll need to explain that.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head like on that one, where because with real-time rendering, it's so easy to present imagery, to show things in a very nice way, let's put it that way, that sometimes the project would definitely feel a lot further along than what it actually is, especially when it comes to, I would say, materiality. Because with real-time rendering, it's so easy to apply different materials on different surfaces. So it really gives you a sense that, wow, this project, it's really further along. And a lot of the times we have to remind ourselves actually to pull back and say, hey, it's actually okay to not apply materials to our geometry right now. It's okay to actually, for example, throw in some outlines to the image so that it looks a little bit more like a sketch model instead of like a fully figured out CD model.
And the reason I ask that is that we had experience recently with a developer who's pretty cutting edge down in Houston, who was developing, I guess you would call it the equivalent of Rhino, which is River North here in Denver, mm-hmm. and taking an underutilized, gritty industrial area and really creating sort of an entertainment area. And this was for a 300 unit multifamily. And we showed just this very quick thing that Inscape allowed us to get to. Mm-hmm. And we were starting to get questions about, well, you know, what kind of materials, you know, how much it's going to cost. And it was great in the sense that they were looking at it as if they were going to build it, right? Which tells you as a designer, hey, you know, hey, we hit the nail on the head. But at the same time too, it's like, well, you know, hey, we'll get there. At this point, it's just, you know, kind of eye candy and somewhat realistic, but we're just, you know, we're testing ideas with you.
And can I add something to that as well? In terms of modeling, I think using real-time visualization also sometimes encourage our designers to over-design or over-model things, because you want to make things look nice. And as a result, there tends to be a lot of detail that might not be applicable at that phase of the project.
Thanks, guys. That's great information to talk about the ups and downs and the whole cause and effect, right? This great tool, but it can kind of challenge another. The next thing I wanted you to kind of walk me through, Enoch, is that I've had the pleasure of getting the, what I would call the 30-second commercial when I'm at Autodesk University or Digital Built Week, where Inscape has the booth and they show me this amazing walkthrough from their perspective and do a great job as that. But I've never used it myself, but I'm just hearing about all these rave reviews from power users like you. So can you educate the Art of Construction tribe from your point of view, educate us on how Enscape works?
Definitely. So Enscape is a plugin currently actually for four very popular programs in architecture world. It is a plugin for Revit, Rhino, ArchiCAD, and SketchUp. And essentially what it does is that it takes the geometry and the texture that's been applied to that geometry and essentially translate it for the Enscape rendering engine. And so once you essentially, it's like one, it's the really a one-click solution. You push a button and then the Enscape window will pop out and it will show you the project. And in that project, it's very extremely similar to a video game where you can walk around using your keyboard. You can like look around using your mouse. You can change time of day on the fly. The model what you see in Enscape can be updated real time. So let's say if you change geometry in, let's say Revit or Rhino, if you change the material, that will get updated almost instantaneously in Enscape.
You know, that's it was a good point. I had a lunch with a colleague today, and their firm really focuses on high-end custom residences, and they use an ArchiCAD platform. And he said that they're a huge BIMX user. And so we were talking about Enscape, and I said, you know, I know you're somewhat familiar with it, but you should really, really look into it, because all the reasons that you just mentioned, it's absolutely amazing to me. Not only is it happening in real time, because BIMX is a static tool, this stuff's happening in real time, but the actual visualization and quality of that three-dimensional graphic environment is so rich. It almost surprises you, you know, when you first start using it.
Absolutely. I would almost say like they have one of the best real-time lighting calculation in class. Like the lighting quality you get from Enscape, it's really amazing given the time it takes to generate that environment. Because typically for your typical CPU-based rendering, you have to set up all the lighting. It takes quite a while to set that up, but Enscape really takes care of that for you.
And that is a huge differentiator. I agree with you completely. I mean, it sort of removes the RAM equation and, you know, rasterizing and all of that. It's automatically done for you, and it's almost freakish how intuitive the tool is. Well, yeah, I just wanted to switch gears just a little bit and talk with you about Enscape being a heavy power user. Can you share like maybe one initial use of Enscape that was like a surprise to you?
Yeah, I would say the initial surprise would be, you know, like how much in a way like the work that we need to put into our model to like to make things look good. I think like in the past, when we don't really do visualization through our BIM model, a lot of the things you can kind of get by from a documentation perspective. But now, so an example would be, for example, reveals, where typically for documentation, all you need is to really draw a line. You don't really need to model a reveal. But now that we're visualizing it, and we need to show that to, let's say, to the client, we actually have to model that in. So I think that was kind of like a surprise in terms of like, oh, actually, to make this look good, we have to put in a little bit more work.
I have to chime in there just as my wearing my window and door hat. That's so gold to me to hear that, because who actually takes that line and makes people understand how it works? How does the wall and the return work? Like, 15 years of beating my head against the wall on drywall return versus trim and all those things, that who's the person in charge of educating that, especially in the glass house movement of everything is indoor outdoor glass with no walls. Something has to hold it up, but these tools can force the hand to actually make you see the return on the wall, just the line versus a line on a 2D plan.
So the person in charge would be Enoch. So, you know, you should definitely post his 1-800 number.
Oh, we have a plan for the drywall return.
Exactly.
Wait, second question for you is, if you had, if we had Moritz on the line here and you know, Moritz said to you, hey, you know, if there's anything that we should be working on, and there was a little bit of that dialogue going on at the Digital Built in Seattle, where I remember him standing up and asking one question. He already knew what the answer was going to be. And he said, how many, can I just by a raise of hands, how many people would want X? And then, like, the whole room raised their hand. But in this deep dive, if there was one thing that you wish that Inscape had, one tool or one gesture or one application or something that they had, what would that be?
I would say one thing that would be very helpful and powerful would be a tool that allows us to create custom entourage. Currently, I think Enscape provides a really good collection of entourage. And that really ties to one of the really powerful thing about Enscape. It's where you can really put in the landscape, the people in there, and once again, tell the story of a lively project. Unfortunately, on the other hand, the process of creating custom entourage is still a little bit clunky. And a lot of the times for project, it does call for specific entourage. For example, certain furnitures that our residential project clients request, or for example, for diversity's sake, you know, making sure that different ethnicity is represented through the entourage. I think those are extremely important aspects of visualization and telling the story of the project. And I think, yeah, if there's a tool, I would wish that would be it.
Excuse the ignorance. I just want to make sure I'm understanding entourage. I see you guys as my entourage, but these are like putting you guys into a BIM model. Is that what we mean by the entourage?
Yeah, like entourage, I would mean like trees, people, you know, like things that you typically, it's not really related to.
Okay, so we don't want Matt as in the entourage.
We can't. Can you scan him and put him in there?
Devin, just so you're clear, you and I couldn't, or you couldn't afford Enoch and me.
Got it.
And your
kind of a big deal. Yeah.
It's a side story, but I actually 3D scanned one of our coworkers and put him in the Enscape model before. So
we could be your avatar, but not your entourage.
Okay, so it's the stuff. It's the BIM model. I'm learning from all you guys of like, in the past is like these things can be made, who pays and who takes the time to put something or something in this. And that's the entourage that makes it as real as can be. And we're learning. And that's what I, at Digital Bill Week that Matt was referencing, that's what Moritz was talking about. And he went down that vein and everybody blew up about lighting, like seeing the lights and the types of lights and all these type of things that I'm learning. One of the secret sauces of our goal of connecting technology to handshakes is that Art of Construction is this open forum to where there, how do you put all this stuff into there that somebody has to manage all things we don't have enough of, time and money, right?
You know, and the thing is, when Enoch was talking about that of, you know, improving the entourage, I immediately thought of Ben Glunz with BIM Smith. And I don't know if that's in his business model or not, but it's one of those things where, you know, connecting technology with handshakes, it's like putting someone who really wants to create that deep entourage that has ethnicity and all those types of things is, I think, needed. And so I would imagine Moritz and Inscape may be having those discussions right now.
Awesome. Well, I'm honored to have EYRC and Enoch as part of the Art of Construction entourage. And that's what this whole thing is put together to say, how do we take these different tools, like you mentioned, Ben Glunz of BIM Smith and several great tools of when you talked about outsourcing versus insourcing is what I'm hearing is a really powerful thing about Enscape is it allows you to visualize and bring stuff in-house right now to manage those two things. Is that kind of a safe analysis of bringing this all together of what real-time rendering is all about?
Absolutely. Yeah, I would say if I mentioned a QR previously, but like it makes things a lot less, like it makes it frictionless. Everything is now a lot more streamlined than before.
Awesome. Well, we'll make sure on the different things that that's one of the great things for Enscape is on the Art of Construction platform, you can hit us up on the message board. And this is another touch point is we're the open place to take all these tools and put them together. And it was an honor to meet Moritz, the founder of Enscape, and his team. And I think that's why they're being so successful, is of why they're getting out and listening to us give them good feedback. Business 101 is listen to your ideal customers like Enoch, that's been blazing trails with you of what, how to take it to the next level. So I love that. To step up a notch, we asked this at the first episode and the many hundreds we've done since this, is what is that one thing for contractors and affiliates to think about to grow their business and encompass that around real-time rendering in your architecture firm?
I would say that one thing would be, at the end of the day, it's extremely important to think about how you tell your story, how you tell the story of your project. I would say that Enscape is extremely powerful in a way where it's very helpful to tell a story from a visual level, spatial quality, lighting, all that. And that is very effective for also a certain stakeholders and use audience as well. But there are times that where, for example, like graphs or metrics or data might be more effective in communicating certain ideas, such as sustainability, such as user experience, things like that. So I think to think through who your audience is and what story you tell them would really help to inform what tool you should use.
Awesome, man. Enoch, thanks so much for taking the time and blazing trails with Enscape. We're big fans here on the Art of Construction, and hopefully this touch point and the other two podcasts, go check them out with Turner Fleischer and Able Design Group, that we're going to be talking with them with other experts, so you can take a deep, deep, deep three-part series dive about real-time rendering. Thanks so much for coming in and telling us your story.
Of course.
So Matt, storytelling is story selling. And at the end of the day, we talk about data, P&L, and all that stuff is king, right? So when I loved when he talked about how the presentation to the stakeholders is your time to shine, but it's really hard to put that together in the past when you had to put it onto a VHS tape and fly to them and then go back and take 2 weeks to put it together. So to me, I think real-time rendering is where it's at for telling that story, with Enscape leading the charge. What's your take, my man?
You know, this has been like a full circle thing for me, meeting Moritz and realizing that his background was really video gaming. It reminded me of back in the early 90s, and I went to San Francisco and met with a couple guys who went to CU Environmental Design School. And was going to do a project for them. And I said, hey, what do you guys do? They said, well, we didn't want to go into architecture because we couldn't, we had to worry about codes and all those sorts of things. And you could actually kill people. And that wasn't a good thing. And so they ended up creating this software called Diablo. And their company was called Blizzard Entertainment. And they were bought out by EA. And so they sort of chose to go down the dark path of where they could whack people using Diablo.
So you get paid to whack people versus go get sued.
And Moritz, you know, took video game technology and kind of went over, you know, with Luke and Princess Leia and went in and created something beautiful for architecture. And so to hear Enoch tell his story of how it's affected his firm and how it's really increased their effectiveness in their brand and user experience is very powerful.
Totally. I loved his lessons learned, where he talked about how you have to be careful the cause and effect. He gave some great insight, I believe, on that, to say, be careful what you wish for, because you need to design, and then they want all that stuff, and then there's all this work to do. And I think that's a big thing when I'm listening to the Art of Construction tribe telling us about all these tools we're working on, is there's so many different plugins out there now, but you better make sure your plugin works with platforms like Enscape and real-time rendering, because that's where the mainframe's at. The other question is, excuse my ignorance, I think he said four main tools, and you've been talking about ArchiCAD, obviously Autodesk, Revit. I'm curious, what are the, in your mind, when he said they're the main real-time rendering plug into these main tools, just for the ignorant people like me that don't use these tools, it's kind of like what car you're buying, what brand, this is kind of that mainframe with Autodesk being the 800-pound gorilla. Am I understanding this right, Matt?
Yeah, and that is an important thing, the fact that it can be used in all these different software platforms and still work effortlessly. So, you know, SketchUp was created in Boulder on West Pearl Street Mall. And so to be able to use SketchUp, ArchiCAD, Revit, and have it still perform seamlessly, to me, is really sort of a coding programming miracle.
Yeah, and in the world of iPhone or Samsung or this or that, you know, there's the big one, but Enscape sounds like they're really working with the different ones, which is really cool for me because change is hard and sometimes people really like one thing. I heard him talk about BIMX and the different plugins that are the mainframe, if I'm understanding all this stuff right.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, I don't want to say it's completely agnostic, but it is very agnostic, is that you can move it across various platforms.
So in closing, these deep dive series, as the Art of Construction, we release these at different times, but we really try to take these stories and put them together in bite-sized pieces. And that's what was really valuable. I loved how Enoch talked about it's telling the story, right? And you have to be able to come and go, but put all the story together. But you have to have really good systems with that story. So I challenge you, if you haven't listened to the episode on Moritz, go back and listen to that. But if you're going to go listen to the Turner Fleischer episode next on the Deep Dive series, stop. Go into iTunes. Roll back a few. AOC Show 159, A Dedicated Approach to R&D and Office Management. Listen to that first, and you'll hear why we're so excited to have Ellen Bensky and Steve Nonis back into Studio Art of Construction and bring their presentation about a dedicated approach to R&D and office management and flip that upside down and talk about real-time rendering. They all come together. Matt, am I doing a pretty good job of asking questions and pulling all this stuff together to bring it home? It's my awesome guest co-host.
You're doing a great job. And I was just going to say about Ellen, man, she is this beautiful blend between the business of architecture and the architecture of business. It's a very impressive podcast.
And then we're going to bring it home with your team, right? We get to bring Able Design Group into the Studio Art of Construction. And what's really, I'm so pumped about that because, Matt, it's kind of new. We've been blazing these trails together and that locally we've been doing it on projects together. So I'm pumped to talk locally with your team and maybe bring a couple others in from your firms and your different operations as we're all learning and growing together to crush it and use the best tools out there and work together, huh?
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it because we're at the opposite end. We're drinking from the fire hose on Enscape.
Awesome. Well, let's all drink through the fire hose together. We can't all blaze trails. We got to take systems like Turner Fleischer's done and put teams and work together. So we're honored. Enoch did a great job. Go check out the show notes and check out their amazing firm. Their website and their work is beautiful. Thanks, Enscape, for supporting the Art of Construction and being behind us on this deep dive series. And hopefully this is another great touch point when you want to talk about what's real-time rendering. There you go. Crush it out there, tribe. Thanks for listening.